Happy Easter. It is really good to be here this morning. Glad we could be. I have a little question, though. First of all, I got this new coat. I've worn it twice now. Is it time to cut the pockets open yet? I'm not sure what the protocol is on that, so if somebody knows. I worked at the funeral home for 10 years. Those coats didn't have pockets in them, so I'm trying to figure that out still. As you know, we've been at the doctor quite a bit lately, and so one of the things I noticed was the nurses have these pens that click, you know. They've got a black and a red cartridge. And so I asked my son, John Seth, he's gone with us a lot, and he said, well, the black is for when they're writing on the chart and that official kind of stuff. And I said, well, what's the red for? And he said, well, it's probably when they need to draw blood. He's an art major, so I figure he knows, you know, this kind of stuff's over my head. Melinda's usually really good at directions. I mean, really good. But sometimes when she's driving, you know, she gets caught up in these philosophical, intellectual discussions in her head with herself. And right and left and east and west, all that kind of gets confusing. And so she ends up on these roads she didn't want to be on. And by her own admission, if we had the money back for all the gas we spent retracing those miles, she would be more like Melinda Gates than Melinda Hunter. So, but, you know, that's the story of these two guys on the road to Emmaus. They're on this road they didn't want to be on. They had other hopes. They said to Jesus, we had hoped that things were going to turn out different. You know, Jesus had encouraged their hopes. He had built them up. I mean, when they started following him, things started happening. Jesus did miracles. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He fed the hungry with a miraculous multitude of multiplying of the fish and the bread. He raised the dead. He did these things that people were astounded by. And they began to get their hopes up. And the whole time he did that, he talked about the kingdom of God was near. And they thought, it's going to be here any moment. That in the next week or days or year, this kingdom is coming. And, you know, everybody was excited about it. They came into Jerusalem and they laid the palm branches on the road. And everybody shouted, Hosanna to the King. And their hopes were higher than they had ever been. And now it's over. It's done. Jesus is dead. And they're on this road headed to Emmaus, to this place that the day before they had never thought they would go, that this is not where they planned to be. Things were going to be great. They were going to get better and better. Jesus was popular. Even his enemies admitted that the whole world seems to be following him. But now their hopes were crushed. They were in this place, on this road, that they never expected to be. And that happens to us, doesn't it? We find ourselves on roads in places that we never expected. With questions, we get confused like they were. You know, when I was a kid, now you kids, I don't want to discourage you any or not, but when I was a kid, I thought adults knew stuff. And now I'm an adult, I think, kids know more than adults do, you know. I figured as you went along, you would learn the answers, you know. You would figure it out. And I don't mean to discourage you, but sometimes I thought the preacher had answers. And now that I'm a preacher, I know that they don't have answers either. That we don't figure it out as we go along. And it's kind of like Nicodemus when he came to Jesus, you know. He was a religious leader, a teacher. He was one of the masters, you know, had like his PhD and whatever holy stuff was back then. And he came to Jesus because he had questions that he knew he should have the answers for, but he didn't. And so these two on the road, they had questions that they could not answer. Sometimes we find ourselves in that place where we think we should have figured out this faith stuff or this relationship stuff or this life stuff. And we realize that we still have a lot of questions that we ask. And maybe sometimes that road we find ourselves on is a road of sorrow. Of struggle. You know that life is hard. Somebody leaves, whether it's a divorce or a death or just an abandonment, and we find ourselves in this place where we never expected to be, on this road dealing with stuff that we never expected to be part of our lives. It's kind of like maybe that woman at the well. You know, we read that story where she talks with Jesus and he says, you know, you've had five husbands and now you live with a man who's not your husband. And we think, man, she's a really bad person. What if those husbands died? What if they left her? What if they just decided she wasn't good enough anymore? What kind of sorrow did she experience in her life and suffering that Jesus met her in that place where she was suffering? Death comes whether we want it to or not. Disease, suffering, it's not a road that we choose, but it's one that we find ourselves on sometimes. Or maybe it's a place of failure where we make mistakes, where we just mess up. And we end up in a place where we have consequences or habits, or we have these things in our life that we never thought we would be dealing with. And there's that shame and that guilt that goes along with us. I think about Zacchaeus and Matthew, who were tax collectors, you know, who obviously were very wealthy people, whose jobs and their lives had worked out in the way they had hoped in some ways, but they had had to compromise, and they had had to trade away so much of what was important to them and give up on the things they valued in order to get to this place. And they discovered that it was not a road that they would choose, not the road that they really wanted to be on. And then sometimes I think it's just fear and uncertainty, that things are out of our control. Or maybe we find ourselves in a dead end. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in a job. Maybe it's because of these limitations that are placed on us by our society, by prejudice, or whatever it is. And we discover that this is not where I wanted to be. And we begin to deal with these things that we had hoped that things would be different. And now our hopes are not what they once were. Maybe you're in one of those places this morning. Or maybe you've been there. And probably, if not, you will be. Because that's how life is. Places that we would not choose sometimes become part of our story. And so this morning we're going to see a video of a couple from the Broadway Church, Patrick and Teresa Flanagan, and their story of ending up in a place and a story that they did not choose.
She was born at 5:22 p.m. on November 21st.
She was 1 pound and 9 ounces.
1 pound, 9 ounces, I think.
And 12 inches, which for a baby at 24 weeks is pretty huge.
It's pretty large. They were... Yeah. Excited, she was pink.
Yeah,
and
yeah. She looked when she was born. I got to go over and get a look, and she looked good. I mean, she was tiny, of course. So at that moment, we were feeling really hopeful.
Yeah.
But they told us, you know, they prepared us ahead of time. They said the first 48 hours with any premature baby, especially this premature, it's touch and go. You know, we'll have great news and we'll all be feeling good, and then we can have a drastic change in a matter of minutes. So we got back to the room, and then they started coming in and giving us updates every hour or so, and that's when we learned that she had a hole in her lung. So she was getting air in her chest cavity. So that was the first thing that they were kind of treating her for. So we went from feeling really confident to now it's devastating news. They came back after about an hour and said they managed to get the air out of her chest cavity, and that has stabilized her a little bit. But her little body was just riddled with infection.
30 minutes later, the main pediatric nurse, doctor, came in and told us that the infection was so bad that Caroline's body could not do what it needed to do to get the medicine where it needed to be, and that they basically had done everything they could at that point. And she told us that basically it was time to say goodbye to Caroline.
We talk a lot around Easter about Good Friday and the crucifixion and the significance of that. And then, of course, we talk a lot about Sunday and the resurrection, and that's the foundation, the death and resurrection, loss and renewal. That's the central thing That's what it's all about. But we don't talk about a lot is Saturday. You know, the day after the tragedy, after the loss, but before the redemption. And that can feel pretty hopeless. And I think after Caroline died, it kind of felt like that Saturday. Like, we've been told that God is going to redeem all things, but feels pretty bad right now. Feels really bad. Feels worse than I ever thought it could. But it was actually in Kids Zone Live a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about hope. And the way they defined it, and it's so simple, and I never really thought about it, but the way they defined it was hope is the ability to see good when bad things happen. I mean, losing a child is the worst thing that a parent can ever go through. But in the midst of that, we saw a lot of good things happen. We saw our family rally around us and support us. We saw our church
rally,
step up and just love us. We got calls and messages and texts and food, so much food. It's like, I mean, that's hope in action. That's good things happening in the midst of the worst thing that could ever possibly happen.
God was ahead of us. He was making sure we were at the right church, making sure we had the right people around us, and that peace also made me feel guilty. Like I shouldn't have peace. I just lost my child. But it was that hope. There were so many things that happened that were good after Caroline died, that you have this fight within yourself. Like, you can't be okay with this. You can't have peace. You can't be hopeful. You're supposed to be mourning the loss of your child, and that's the only thing that can consume your day. But we saw hope. We felt hope. And it wasn't a Band-Aid. It didn't fix everything. We still mourn the loss of our daughter. We will forever mourn the loss of our daughter. But that hope is what's helping us get through that. It's not fixing it, but it's helping us through.
Her hope, who had lost her friend, who had lost this one that she was devoted to. She's got embalming fluid with her. She's come to bathe his body. And Jesus sees her, and he comes to her, and he speaks hope to her. He meets these two on the road to Emmaus who are confused, and they don't understand what's going on, and he begins to explain to them what's going on and what has happened. He gives them hope to those who had hoped but no longer did. They run back to Jerusalem, and they meet with the other disciples, and the disciples tell them that Jesus has met with Peter, who was a failure, a denier, who had to feel so much shame and guilt over what he had done. And Jesus makes a point to go to Peter and to lift him up. And then that night he appears to the disciples who are afraid and unsure about the future, who don't know what's going to happen, and he gives them peace. You see, our hope is that Jesus died for us, and it's more. Our hope is that Jesus rose again for us and with us, and it is more. Our hope is that Jesus comes to us on every road on which we find ourselves, and it's more. Our hope is that Jesus sits across the table from us, that he breaks bread, and that the greatest desire of his heart is that we will recognize him. This morning, whatever road you're on, Jesus sits across the table from you. He wants to open our eyes that we might recognize. Easter is about Jesus coming to those who had hoped. You see, he said the kingdom is near, but he wasn't talking about it in terms of time. He was talking about it in terms of space, that they could reach out their hand and touch the kingdom, that the king was sitting across the table from them. And so it is this morning. The kingdom is here, and it is now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence with us, that on all those roads, you find a way to be with us. And in every one of them, you see us. You see us this morning. You know exactly where we are. You know the road that we have found ourselves on, and that you come to sit across the table from us, that we might recognize and our hope might be renewed, that those of us who had hoped might hope again. We pray, Father, that you might give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that in these moments as we come to the table in communion, that we would recognize the Jesus who loved us so much that he died for us, who loves us so much that he has risen from the dead and he walks with us this morning, who loves us so much that he eats at this table with us, that his presence might give us hope. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and you breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our sovereign God. You brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and you set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery.